Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag, and we're wearing the same clothes for a week now. And
it's getting... We haven't left.
Oh, God. Yeah, so no, we had to shoot two shows back to back. I'm on vacation this week. So right now, I'm laying on a beach in Florida. Which
wow.
is kind of a nice thought, seeing that it's cold, wet Seattle right now. But yeah, so second show, let's get started. From Andrew, I'm hoping someone shed some light on fixing an error that I'm receiving daily or every other day on a Windows 8 PC. I'm getting a BSOD bug check with driver power state failure. Here's what I've already tried through TechNet forum, and he has a link here. We need a little bit more information on this. We need a memory dump.
Yeah, so the C:\Windows\memory.dmp, zip that up, send it. You can also, you know, install the debugging tools yourself. I know Defrag Tools will talk about it.
Yeah.
I've talked about it in the past. I'm not going to go through all of the steps to do it because, frankly, by now you should be able to do that.
And we have a whole show on it.
We have a whole show. So, you know, install the debugging tools, run WinDBG, open up the dump file, do a bang analyze, !analyze-v. It should tell you what drivers potentially the cause of this issue. If you do that, you can at least start narrowing down. Like, have you updated drivers recently? Maybe you do need to update a driver that hasn't been updated yet. You know, go to Device Manager, see if you know which driver it is, right-click on it, Properties, and look for updates. So if I'm going to do this, go to Device Manager. Let's say it was my network driver because, you know, frankly, they're almost always network drivers. You know, if I right-click on it, go to Properties, go to Driver, and say Update Driver. You know, say Search Automatically, it'll go to Windows Update to see if mm-hmm. there's an updated driver for you. You might have to go to the device manufacturer or the OEM website in order to pick up the correct driver
yeah.
for it to work. But, you know, you can go and do that. It's more than likely it needs an updated driver.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. Is there a command to snap a window to the left or the right of the screen in Windows 7 using a voice command? I've searched but not found anything short of telling it to press Windows key plus left or right. Is there some way to add a command? Well, I talked to Daniel Hubble about this. Daniel's on the Windows accessibility team.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did a really cool interview with him, so I'll be posting that up soon. I'll link to that. He said, typically if you want to do something long form, like a key sequence, Windows right, if there's a shorter way to do it, the speech info box will actually tell you what the shortcut is. So there's that. Also, he said there's a little application that they put out during the Vista time frame. And says he doesn't know if it works with Windows 7, but here's a link. And we installed it earlier today on
yep.
Windows 8.
Yeah,
and it seemed to work okay.
Windows speech recognition macros.
Yeah, so you can make your own macros to do things that will help save you time. And the cool thing with this is it saves these macros in your documents.
Yeah, so
portability.
Under My Document Speech Macros. So it'll take some time. I haven't gone through all of the speech recognition in order to recognize my voice.
Yeah.
I just went through the install, made sure that part works. But yeah, all of your macros will be just saved as files, and you can take that to any number of machines at that point. You don't have to keep retraining.
Save it to your SkyDrive.
Exactly.
And then just pull it down on each machine. So yeah, very cool. All right. Thank you, Daniel. And I will link to the video that I did with Daniel here soon. From Robert, for the first time in my life, I tried a Windows upgrade instead of a clean install. Almost everything went amazingly well, so hats off to all you fantastic Windows engineers for a job well done. One thing that went wrong is I haven't been able to fix on my own. After the upgrade, my recorded and live TV in Media Center plays in silence, and so do DVDs. I can hear the Media Center UI sounds, startup noises, button clicks, etc. So I think the audio connection is fine. If I play recorded or live TV through my Xbox 360 extender, I hear the audio fine, so I think the files are fine. Also, if I copy the record files to another Windows 8 box and play them, sound works fine. Any advice on how to troubleshoot this next? In case it matters, on Windows 7, I had PowerDVD installed. After I upgraded and found the problem, I tried uninstalling PowerDVD, which didn't help, and I reinstalled PowerDVD, and that didn't help either. So you asked, have you ever had any other codecs installed? And he said, I don't think so. He hasn't flattened the box in quite some time, but it's possible. And then you sent a couple of links to Microsoft's Fixit Codec run and a Fixit Center run.
Yeah, and we'll link to those in the show notes. Those are your best shots at repairing what could have happened, being a codec has been misregistered. A codec may be thinking that it's registered, but it's now gone into limbo.
Yeah.
So, which is another highly likely possibility. Now, unfortunately, you know, without physical access to the machine and being able to explore the machine, I'm not really going to be able to help a whole lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we can set up a remote access into the machine where it can play around a little bit and diagnose a little bit better what's going on.
Okay. If you were getting this error, would you just flatten the machine and try that first? Do you think that would be the fastest
Well, it's the way? It's the guaranteed way, right?
Yeah.
Some things to look at is, you know, what is actually set as your default audio device.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just playing it on the computer, or are you trying to output it to a TV?
Yeah.
Right. The one other thing to do is run through the Media Center setup experience again.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have some tests of whether or not, you know, you can hear sound, and it's supposed to play the sound the exact same way that TV or recorded video would.
Yeah.
So that may also help in the re-registration of the Media Center codecs. But I do know that for Media Center, it will only allow a very narrow set of codecs that come with the box in order to be used. If they get stomped on, then Media Center will just refuse to do a lot of its stuff, because it's supposed to be signed, registered in a particular manner, you know, looking like Microsoft codecs.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Next question from Art. Hey guys, recently I've taken up the task of learning to see what it takes to create a WMC add-in. I have WMC running under Windows 8, and I've noticed that the core WMC DLLs were recompiled in Windows 8 using .NET 4 framework. This is great as it opens up some new possibilities, like being able to use tasks. However, the WMC SDK was never updated, and thus all the tools that come with the SDK, like MCML, PAD, .exe, and Verifier, still reference old .NET 2 version of Microsoft.MediaCenter.UI. They obviously can't load the .NET 4 one, which ships with Windows 8. What's the status of WMC SDK under Windows 8? The only one I've been able to locate is for Windows 7.
Unfortunately, at this time, it doesn't look like there will be an update for it. I don't have a ton of information, but at this point, all I can say is that, no, there is not one ready.
There isn't one available.
There isn't one available.
We don't know of one that's coming or
right.
in progress.
We can't say whether
there is one.
Exactly.
Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but
you
we
just
can't
can
say.
Still use the 7 SDK to create your add-in. That add-in should work in Windows 8 Media Center.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. When I drag or resize a Windows window near the edge or corner of either monitor, Windows wants to maximize or resize the window for me. Is there a registry hack to disable these settings? I can do one better by not having to go into the registry. You can go to the ease of access settings. And again, you can watch that video with Daniel Hubble for more on ease of access. But let's watch Gove now.
Go to ease of access and make the mouse easier to use. Go down to prevent windows from automatically arranged when moved to the edge of the screen.
Okay, so there you have it. And it's kind of like a registry hack without the registry. So that will fix your problem there. Next question from Gaurav. He says, I have a Windows 7 Home Premium x86 machine. Recently, I had uninstalled NVIDIA graphics adapter driver. As there is an updated version available that I manually downloaded from NVIDIA website. The problem is after uninstallation of the previous version driver and rebooting, Windows 7 automatically installs drivers for graphics adapter. I want to configure Windows 7 to manually install the driver for the graphics adapter I downloaded from NVIDIA. I searched KB 2500-967 and followed the method 1, but after following the method, it only prevents Windows not to search and install the driver from Windows Update. As Windows 7 still searches the computer itself and tries to install the driver, is it possible to prevent this? Method 2 is not applicable in my case, as group policy does not work in Home Premium Edition machine. Probably there must be a registry tweak so that we can disable the automatic driver installation completely. If there's not such a tweak, then what is the best method for reinstallation of the device driver in my scenario?
So, very, very long question, and it all started with the wrong premise.
Yeah.
In that, in order to install the latest NVIDIA driver from NVIDIA's website, you had to uninstall your existing driver.
Yeah.
That's an incorrect premise. So, what you want to do, if anyone has ever done this before, undo what the KB told you to do. You always want Windows Update to search. However, Windows Update searches will only be for drivers that are put up onto Windows Update.
Yeah.
Those drivers are Wickel signed, Windows Hardware Quality Lab signed, and they have a certain quality bar. So it's a very high quality bar to get up onto Windows Update. The ones that are on NVIDIA's site are much newer. They can be beta software. They're not necessarily gone through the Wickel testing yet.
Might be a little bit more wobbly.
A little bit more wobbly, but
maybe.
They are more up to date, right?
Yeah.
They're guaranteed to be more up to date. What you want to do is let Windows Update do its searching. Don't turn that off. When you install the latest one from NVIDIA, it will automatically outrank the version of the driver that is currently installed on your system.
So just install right on top of the one that you already
have. Right on top, and you're golden.
And let's say you had uninstalled that, and then it went and installed the one from Windows Update. Can you just reinstall over that, too? You don't have to uninstall that one either.
You never have to uninstall your graphics driver when it comes from Windows Update.
Okay.
You can just install right over top from your IHV, from the vendor website.
Cool. Okay. All right. Next question. I've got Windows 8, and I want to save some space on my small SSD and remove the recovery partition, but still keep it in case I need it later. Please advise.
So the recovery partition comes with Windows 8 is about 3.5 gig. You can absolutely remove it and create a media backup, which is probably what you want to do. And Windows has this built in. Create a recovery drive. So what this will do is give you a USB key.
Okay.
Or, well, it won't give you a USB key. You need a USB key. Yeah, if you could just have your machine spit out a USB key, that'd
that would be awesome. I'd do that all day.
You have to have a USB key, minimum 8 gig. Throw it in. It will create a recovery partition on that USB drive. You can then go ahead and blow away the version on your current system. And then if you ever have to do a recovery, if you boot up, you can choose the option through the graphical user interface for recovery. You just have to put in that USB drive in order to recover. And cool. That's going to be your best bet to save space on your drive, along with, from the previous show, we talked about disabling hibernation, which could potentially save you quite a bit of space as well.
Cool. Okay. Pick of the week time. Time for the pick of the week. And Gove, you like this one.
I do like this one.
Yeah, it came from Addictive Tips, which is a site that I keep frequenting more and more because I really love the stuff that I find there. And this is a watch monitor for local and network drives. Tell us about this.
So, you know, occasionally, or at least on my systems at home, I have a lot of different machines, and I like to keep things synced to the server.
Yeah.
Right? You can use an app like this. I have other scripts that I use that will do something very similar. This is a better GUI than what I have.
Yeah.
But it does more than simply backup. If you want to monitor for changes and then have it send email, for example, you can do that. You can have it just notify you on your local system through the notification area that file changes have occurred. The very settings that this particular app can do is, you know, under notifications, you can play a sound, it can send a network message to a connected
machine.
That's nice. Which is actually pretty nice. You can have it to run another application, email reports, upload to FTP, copy them. You know, you can use this as a backup operation for files. You know, you do a lot of photo editing, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming that you don't want every single copy of every single edit being backed up somewhere. Right?
You'd be wrong.
I'd be wrong?
It depends. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I keep iterations of things, but it all depends.
But like you primarily would want like your master edit folder to be the one that's backed up.
Yeah.
Right? So like if you're editing something in Photoshop, probably have like a scratch directory, and then you'd like move it over to a finished edits directory.
Yeah.
You could have this monitor that directory and then have it automatically back up when...
Yeah, we also have some network shares that we use here in the studio. So when Golnaz or Caitlin finish a file, they'll drop it into a directory. And, you know, sometimes we just use those directories to copy things to other people around Microsoft. Right. So it would be nice to be able to know when someone's actually dropped something into your folder and get an email or something like that without them having to ping you. So, yeah,
exactly.
I can see you using this quite a bit. Very interesting.
Yeah, and it works on 32 and 64-bit versions of all current OSs.
XP, Vista, 7, and 8. Awesome. Okay, cool. And that is the show for this week. Thanks for watching. If you want to email us, you can send an email to defragshow@microsoft.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes. We love the email. We love going back and forth on email. Gove does anyway. I like to watch. And so we'll see you next week.